Bandits Live.
Welcome back to episode 182 of the Tall Boy Radio Podcast, and a special thank you to those who are listening in St. Kitts and Nevis, country number 56. Welcome on board, folks. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, I'll tell you where it goes. Tonight, it goes to another realm. But before we go there, let's introduce our two hosts. Gazza?
Yeah, evening all, evening the world. Looking forward to this. It's a sort of topic that we have sort of covered in a couple of podcasts previously. So always great to get new guests on and sort of pick up their points of view. And as I say, looking forward to a couple of left turns along the way. So as I'd said, let's get going.
Indeed, indeed. Dave?
Yeah, evening all. Really looking forward to this one. Always interesting conversations, this topic. So can't wait for it.
So, as I promised, we've got a couple of guests, and a couple of guests have an interest in the paranormal. So, JP and Kimmy, did you want to say hello and tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Hi, I'm Kimmy. I work in a special needs school for autistic children, and I'm a therapy lead within the school, and we have a ghost hunting business as a hobby, and we do a lot of events as well.
Yep. So, hi, I'm JP, and same as Kimmy, work in the same school with autism, head of PE. So we have quite decent jobs, I think. But this is our hobby, and then we'll see where it goes. That's the big thing.
So what is it then that first got you interested in the paranormal?
So this was, lads, the best birthday present in the world and the most long-lasting. I bought a birthday present for Kim about a year ago, was it?
Yeah, about a year ago.
To a house called 30 East Drive. You've probably heard of it in Pontefract.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a film. Yes. It's based on a film called When the Lights Went Out. So we thought, you know what, we'll go for the best house in the UK. Bought the birthday present. Went really good.
I was a skeptic with obviously practicing therapy. But it was something that we wanted to kind of experience together. Mm-hmm. And we went there and I captured our pink little ghost, and I'm not tech at all, and I took the picture, and yeah, it's an amazing pink energy with a little girl inside of it. So, and it developed on the way home, so we kind of got a little bit of a Moorish feeling to do the paranormal investigations, and we did a few, and then we decided to set up our own company.
And it went from there, yeah.
Wow, that's one way to take it. So was it not something that you were interested in? Were you interested in it before you got your birthday gift?
So we've always been interested in it.
Well, you've been more interested than
I believe. Yeah, so I'm a big believer. My mum has been a big believer. My mum grew up with seeing things and this power, but she never pursued it. So I've always believed. Well, you've been a bit different, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm sceptical on investigations. And yeah, I like to debunk as I go along. So I do look at it from a science side of point of view. But there's a lot of things that I've experienced that I just can't explain. And there is something out there. I don't know what it is, but there's intelligent energy. And we love working with the intelligent energy.
Yeah, absolutely do.
Fair play. You've had a few experiences that you've questioned things in the past, haven't you, Gaz?
Yeah, it's strange because a couple of the other people that we've had on, we've spoken about the paranormal and sort of things that go bump in the night as such, and they're similar to you in terms of they always start with the viewpoint of trying to debunk what they see, feel, hear, and they sort of try to sort of rule out every possibility until they get to the one that actually is. There must be something there. It doesn't shock me that you guys sort of start off down that route, but I think the three of us here, I'm more of a believer. I think Dave is the absolute skeptic amongst us and thinks it there's just nothing, and there's a rational explanation for anything. But no, I think that, and I firmly believe that I've seen my mum since she passed, and I had, whether it's a waking dream, a nightmare, whatever you would call it, but I feel as though I've certainly felt that, and I'm a big strong believer. I haven't seen anything subsequently, and lots of people have said, "Oh, you're susceptible to a combination of events or think, and your mind is playing tricks on you," sort of thing. But I'm convinced, and nobody will convince me otherwise, that I've seen my mum since she's passed. So yeah, that's right. That's where I am with it, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. I think, like Gaz said, that, you know, people will perhaps be skeptical of what he saw. And do you think that a lot of people will have an interest in the paranormal and parapsychology based on experiences like that of wanting to believe that there is on the other side, something on the other side?
Yeah, I think everyone wants to believe that there's something beyond this life that we have here on Earth. Of course they do.
I think, yeah, when you lose a loved one, you want to believe that they're there, they could visit you. You can see that they're looked after somewhere. It's not just an end. So that's why I think people do. We meet quite a lot of people in our events where things have just happened to them. They've lost loved ones, they've lost parents, and they are searching to try and contact
person. It's that hope, isn't it? And, you know, psychologically speaking, you know, people can subconsciously receive messages. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I've witnessed a couple of times that, you know, people are set out to come on a ghost hunt and they're wanting to receive that message. So they will...
So they get it.
Yeah, they do get it. Yeah. And, you know, if that's what they want, then let them have that. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not happened or it has happened, because none of us know.
Well, so, we call it 100%, don't we? We say, it's like 100% fear. You don't know. No one knows anything if it's 100% true. So you can't really debunk, you can't really say, no, you're not seeing your mum.
Yep.
But you can't say you are. So, yeah, that's why we love it. And that's what the paranormal research and paranormal, like hunting ghosts, as they call them, it's what we do it for.
So obviously you told us then about your pink ghost experience. What other experiences have you had that have led you to believe that there is something that is the other side of this world?
So we've just come off the back of an investigation at the Haunted Museum in Stoke, quite close to yourselves. And when we went, it was just me and Kimmy just doing an investigation. And they had a new box, which was an original exorcist box, which apparently was used for exorcisms. And if people want to see the video, we're on the other side of the room. And as we're on live on TikTok, just going around. And then all of a sudden we heard a big crash.
Yeah.
And as we turn around to go and investigate, the cross on the exorcism box is snapped. This cross is metal, so there's no way it could come off. So we were lucky enough to actually get the CCTV evidence from the museum, and you can see the cross just snapping on its own. Like we say, Dave's probably going to come in now and try and debunk him with all his science.
We absolutely welcome that. We welcome that, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to find the paranormal. So, I mean, but I look at it as... we are on a ball in this massive, massive black sky universe. Weird, yeah. So I think anything's quite possible. I do think.
But we did try and debunk that one. We watched all the videos, we watched our lives, we watched the CCTV, we went to the museum, tried to look behind the walls, but we couldn't debunk that one. That was
And we've captured growls, we've captured an I love you in a very odd sound, isn't it? From my old house, that was a Victorian house.
And we've all...
So we're happy to send you that footage as well. But we captured this, and, you know, we're in quite respectable jobs. So for us to put our name out there,
we're not going to fake,
is a big thing for us. It's a big thing. People aren't going to want to do therapy with me if I'm just bullshitting around here. There's no way I would have put my name out there, because we are out there. We're, you know, we've gone to Australia, we're over in America, so there's absolutely no way that we would have just made this up.
No,
you know,
it's not worth our time. We're busy people, so why fake it?
No, quite right. So go on then, Dave, how do you explain that?
Well, firstly, I don't we've had episodes like this before, and I don't I don't say people are making it up. People feel and have the emotions and senses that they have. That doesn't mean that they're making it up, but it also doesn't mean that there's something paranormal going on. So I would never sit here and say to anybody, you're just making it up just for whatever reason. I don't dispute for a moment that you feel, you see, you think those things, but I just don't believe that that is something paranormal. And going back to what you said, Kimmy, a few minutes ago, that you, JP and Kimmy, both kind of said the same thing, that everybody wants to believe there's something out there, that there's something out there. Well, I don't at all. You know, once you're dead, you're dead. That's the end of it. And that's how I think. So I don't think everybody does think there must be something else. I want to communicate.
Do you want to believe there's something?
No. Well, no. No. Let me answer that a different way, because that sounded like the answer you wanted. I don't want to not believe, because I'm indifferent to it. If something came along and proved to me that I had these feelings and senses, that may change my mind. I don't actively seek it, and I don't actively seek to deny it. It's just in my experience, in my life, I haven't experienced that, and I don't believe that the paranormal, the afterlife, does exist.
So I've always been interested, when we speak to, obviously, we call them skeptics, don't we? But I've been interested, what would make you believe? What would actually generally make you think,
actually,
oh my God.
You know what? We invite you to come on one of our ghost hunting events. You might get something, you might not, but we can't turn the energy on. We can't turn that energy on and off, can we? But we invite you to come on that to experience, if you like, if you're open to it.
Oh yeah, between us, we talked before about doing an outside live broadcast of an episode. So I've said before, I'm totally up for that, because if something happens, there's going to be two things. It's going to be an audio visual thing, or you know, a feeling, like a physical, like a tremor or something like that, which you could try and explain, you might not be able to explain, or there's going to be something that's actually in your head that you can't explain. And if it was the latter, then I'd be thinking about it. But anything else, I wouldn't say, well, was it somebody flicking a switch? Was it somebody pulling some fishing wire to pull something off a shelf? Was it, you know, something under the floor making it move? Even if I went through all of that and I didn't have an answer, I wouldn't jump to, oh, it must be paranormal. I'd just go to, it's something else I haven't thought of. But if it was a physical, emotional thing that you know, gave feelings inside me that you couldn't recreate with an external thing, then I think you'd have me thinking.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yes, yeah, bring it. You're invited anyway, all of you.
You can all come and see what we do, and hopefully we'll capture something. And yeah, it might broaden your thinking process, well, I suppose, within the energy.
We're going to turn Dave. We're turning Dave. That's a challenge.
That is a challenge.
That is a challenge. That is a challenge. We've been trying, like, on various other podcasts with sort of paranormal investigators and sort of people that are interested in the occult. You know, Dave's stayed pretty steadfast in his thoughts. And yeah,
that's fair enough.
Everyone can believe in what they want to believe in. And like we were saying before, JP believes fully in the afterlife, whereas I'm very much about energy, and I don't know if there's an afterlife, and that's my mission to go out there
and find, see if there is,
and see if there is. But yeah, I believe in energy and possibly other dimensions and what have you. I'm not necessarily, yes, there is an afterlife, so I'm very, very open-minded, like yourself.
That's interesting. I find it interesting that the two of you are investigating the same things, yet have different beliefs. That's quite interesting. And I think my beliefs probably lie somewhere betwixt the two. I don't know about an afterlife. I do certainly believe in a greater power than us, and I certainly do believe in energy. I put a lot of store into that. I do believe in that. Have you guys ever explored that with Ouija boards then?
Oh, we've become like the Ouija family at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we have. We've done quite a bit over the last few months on the talking boards. And obviously when you're with each other, you trust each other. We're not saying it's not your conscience and you're pushing it. We don't know, do we?
Yeah.
But yeah, the stuff we've had in the last few weeks, we've had the same thing coming through.
So when I've done Ouija boards in the past, no movement whatsoever. Absolutely none at all. And I know that one can subconsciously move.
You can move the
planchette, to the messages that you want to possibly receive. Mm. But we've been on it 5 times.
Together, just me and you,
Just myself and JP. And I have felt a force that is very, very strange.
So this...
Very strange.
We do it with a glass, not a planchette. We kid you not, like, the glass, it's not like we could push it. It's the way it moves. It's very sudden. It goes...
And it always moves a certain way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's very, very odd. Very, very odd. And again, obviously, we invite you to do a Ouija board with us.
Try it. Yeah, yeah.
We don't know if we are subconsciously doing that.
However, we do. We have started wearing blindfolds, turning away, not looking at each other.
We get people to move the Ouija board around. We don't know where the letters are on the board.
We're massive on debunking, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We're huge on trying to debunk stuff.
But yeah, there's been 5 times where, since we've been investigating, that it has moved, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is at all. But when you're blindfolded and you don't know where the letters are on the board,
and
because you're asking people to, and you're spelling things out, that's
how
a bit weird.
It is
a bit weird. But I know, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that people can push the letters to the messages that they want from a loved one. And I never used to like Ouija boards. It was a game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know, it was introduced as a game.
We didn't like them. And then we went down this route of, we tried one together in our kitchen, as you do, next to our artifacts, to see what we could get. And I think that got us hooked then, didn't it? Because it was the movement of that glass.
And it's the same movement, isn't it? When we do it. So, so we are researching on that. But again, when you're blindfolded and you're getting the same stuff coming through, it's very strange.
They're getting a bit of a bad rep at the moment, talking boards, because there's a few investigators out there now who are starting to say, they're fake, they're not real, da-da-da-da. We go back to the 100%. If you can tell me 100% and give me that evidence that they're not real, I'll take it. But you can't give me the 100% that they're not fake.
No.
So none of us know.
No one knows.
No. That reminds me of, you can't prove it 100% either way. It reminds me of a previous episode. We were talking about God and where the universe started from. And we talked about faith. And you know, I'm a big believer in faith. I'm not religious at all, but faith is an incredibly important thing. And we sort of said that, you know, people that believe in God have faith, but actually I don't, but I've also got to have faith that God doesn't exist. So it works both ways.
Well, it does,
and you can never prove it one way or another. You just have your own faith and your own belief in what it is that you believe in. And it's two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think on the back of that, I think whatever happens, whatever you feel, whatever you experience, based on your faith, whether you are pro or anti, whatever it may be, you look to attribute certain actions and certain feelings to your way of thinking, and you would automatically default to your way of thinking. And I would default to one way, and Dave potentially and possibly would default to something completely different. But I think you're right in terms of the faith aspect is something that you have to have. But then, as I say, you would always associate certain actions, certain feelings, certain occurrences, and try to align them to your way of thinking, as opposed to somebody else's way of thinking. So yeah, it is that sort of that yin and that yang, that sort of heads and tails. It's one or the other, isn't it? And depending on which side of the coin you lie on, you attribute it either way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be interested then, guys, in doing a Ouija board with these folks?
Yes and no, I think just because I would, because I'm curious. I wouldn't because I'm married, I have children, and I would worry about potentially the benevolent side or malevolent side, whichever is the right word, is that if there was something there that I might not like, or there's some information that I might learn that I don't want to learn, and once you've learned it, you can't unlearn it. Once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. So I would be curious, but I would also be wary, if that makes sense.
Can I just ask, we keep calling it a Ouija board and you keep calling it a talking board.
Yes, yeah, so a Ouija board was what it was called when Hasbro brought it out. So Hasbro...
It was a talking board, Hasbro. Yeah, I think Hasbro called it a talking board. We'll have to look
so,
at that.
So the story of Ouija was someone who invented it was playing it and asked the board to spell out the name. And then they spelled the name, the board spelled out Ouija. But that's a certain type of board and there's more talking boards, isn't there? So that's why it's called Ouija, because the person who invented it asked the board to ask its name.
Okay. Right. Oh, that's interesting. So, funnily enough, when we had Emily on from Emily Paranormal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So she joined us, and she called it a spirit board, not a Ouija board, didn't
she? Did,
yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting.
See, we call it a talking board because we don't know who the bloody hell we're talking to be honest.
Yeah.
So,
it's
a good
point. That's why I call it a talking board, because I don't know if I'm talking to a spirit, and I don't know if I'm talking to an alien or if I'm talking to just whatever energy is out there,
yourself.
Yeah, or myself.
Who's talking to yourself?
So are you guys not, and I'll go back to what I said a minute ago, are you guys not worried or concerned about the type of contacts that you would make on the talking board? I mean, is it always positive? Have you had any negative experiences?
So our biggest thing we always say to people when they come on our investigations, it doesn't always have to be negative.
Yeah.
So things will come through these talking boards or when you're contacting someone, it doesn't always have to be demonic and negative force.
Yeah.
I think Hollywood has made Ouija boards just,
demonic,
like, absolutely demonic, you know.
Yeah.
We've not really experienced anything demonic since investigating, and I would love to experience that.
We've witnessed, I think we've witnessed something powerful, like with the energy coming through. So as Kimmy always says about energy, it's the force of the glass moving. That's a powerful energy, what we've witnessed.
Yeah.
But as I say, we've never really witnessed anything demonic. And as I say, we don't, if we're going into the belief system and all the religious and all that side, is, are demons real? No one knows. Were they brought in just to scare people in the religion side?
For control, you know, so... Yeah, we can go all the way down that route, but we might upset a few people.
The episode might be about 5 hours long as well.
I'd be happy enough to explore that. But meanwhile, we have a question from a viewer, and it just so happens to be my cousin from Texas. Bo would like to know, is there a way to use a talking board but to protect yourself from bad things that come through? Is there anything you can do to protect it on the board?
Yeah, so me and Kim here, we're doing our demonologist. We're demonologists in training, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're starting to do all our training and stuff. So we have been taught the way to open and close Ouija boards or talking boards. So you normally close them, don't you? I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do. I do like a little meditation to myself. I think it means more to me if I'm doing something that's more meaningful and positive to myself. So I don't think there's any way to open and close it. I think if you're strong within yourself, then that's the way I tend to do it.
So we have been taught, and we don't know if it's real, we don't know if it's true, but different signs on a talking board. So it's like the figure of eight, isn't it? So if your glass or your planchette is going a figure of eight on the board, supposedly that's something dark coming through. Obviously you've got the demon of the Ouija board, Zozo. So if the board starts spelling out ZOZO, you're supposed to close the board down.
We don't do that though, do
no,
we?
No, we always wind that up. We try and get more and more.
And that's what we have coming through in the last 5 times we've done the talking board.
Then there's countdown, isn't there? 0, 1 to 0.
Yeah.
So these little signs, like you say, we don't know that's true, but we have witnessed some of that stuff on the board. And when we witness that kind of stuff, the glass is moved with such energy, we kind of go, right.
It's very, very weird. It's like it just glides. And then I'm always like to JP, are you bloody moving that? Are you moving? And no, and then I even had a go on my own.
And it moved, didn't it, on your own?
And it did. And then I'm thinking to myself, right, okay, I'm going to go down the logical side of me, the sceptical side of me. Am I pushing this without realising? but I know deep within I wasn't.
Yeah, pushing it.
But you do always still have that doubt within you, don't you? Because you just don't know.
Oh, yeah, but to go back to the question, yeah, we've been taught a certain way to protect ourselves. You can't 100%, say, we always say 100%, but you can't 100% say it's the right way.
Yeah, I open events with a protection. I wouldn't call it a prayer because I'm not religious.
Yeah,
it's more energy and light, because obviously that's what I believe in more. So I do like a protection prayer with energy. But yeah, I think, you know, it's common sense, really. You know, if something darker is happening, I mean, we've had people fall over in our events. We've had people think that they're being choked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah, we do look at everything, don't we? When we do an event, and we think, is this person really suggestible? But yeah, we've had quite a lot of people who seem to have been taken over, haven't we?
Well, for me, you've got to educate yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, you do.
Like anything you do, educate yourself and.
Yeah. And we will close sessions down. We'll close the activities that we do down if we do feel anyone is in danger. I mean, I don't know any cases to date that anyone's died from paranormal investigating.
You never know.
So I've not had a conversation with the Vatican yet. So
not yet.
Well, maybe I'll wear my dog collar then when we come and join you. Who knows? But yeah, one of the things that Bo says actually is that in America, some of these boards were sold actually as games, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want my kids playing with that sort of a thing. So just to take you back to something that you said there. So you said you're studying demonology and what have you. Where do you go about studying that?
So we go to it's a spiritual. Is it? Well, I can't say the word.
Spiritual church.
Yeah, I've got
JP's been in work since like 7:15 tonight.
Yeah,
it's been a long day at school.
So we go to church, speak to like people in there, don't we? Train. There's an online bit where you get access to speak to other people who are in the same realm as us, aren't we? Really, education.
Yeah. I don't think there's any degree course.
Yeah, there's no qualification to say, yeah, you've passed that. But yeah, we go to people, don't we? As you said, the same beliefs. It's your same beliefs at the end of the day. But we do a lot of reading, don't we? We do a hell of a lot of reading.
Like we say, though, we don't know if demons are true, but we kind of want to go down the route of educating ourselves in case we do ever, hopefully, come across something like that in the future. So we're just trying to educate ourselves as much as possible. And, you know, we're not even a year into what we've been doing, our business. And, you know, we've had a fantastic experience, haven't we?
Lots of
experiences. And we just want to continue to, you know, educate ourselves in all areas, even if we don't believe in certain areas.
Interesting. Well, speaking of education in paranormal, I guess, that's something that, funny enough, you and I did, of all places, just down the road from us, Newcastle Underline College. So when Gaz and I went to college there, we were asked to do a tertiary study, and none of them really appealed. So we asked, is there any chance that we can study the paranormal for, was it a year?
Yeah, one year.
And yeah, so they dedicated a room to us, and unfortunately, we wasted our time by arsing around, didn't we? Not doing anything useful.
Yeah, in hindsight, I really wish we'd have taken it a little bit more seriously. And to be honest, I think they just gave us a room to shut us up and get us out of the way. But no, I mean, we tell a funny story about, because myself and Adam have sort of always had a little bit of an interest in it, and when we were younger, we created these calling cards, and we fancied ourselves as a couple of Ghostbusters sort of thing. So back in the day, we were sort of Pickford and Dickinson parapsychologists, and we sort of delivered various calling cards around Alsatia, and then we're quickly asked to go and remove them by our parents, who said, you're not putting our telephone numbers on them, you know. So and that was the end of our business, unfortunately.
Indeed. So we have another question then from a viewer, and he says, what do you think of paranormal movies then, such as The Conjuring, which is based on real-life investigators? And do you think this has increased the popularity of paranormal investigations?
Well, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
That's Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah,
so in the Conjuring movies are based on Ed and Lorraine, and they were the first probably originals. to be out there.
Paranormal investigators.
They were amazing people. They did what they did in America, and yeah, we can't really, you don't badmouth them because they were awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to answer the question on about films, yeah, I do think it has made it a bit more popular, because I think people do think when they come onto our events as well, that they're going to get all these slam doors and things coming out of the walls and, yeah, all that kind of stuff you see on movies. And we do try and say that when we do investigations, that the sim, that's not even...
That's Hollywood.
You're never going to... You're hardly going to get that.
Yeah.
But these movies have put the popularity up, but... Like I say, The Conjuring and that are based on Ed and Lorraine. And if you actually do a deep dive study into them guys, they had some good points. So the other that, the 28 days? 28
days.
28 days in project, which was, yeah, could be credible. Or,
yeah.
But yeah, mm-hmm. It has increased the popularity of paranormal investigations totally.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely has. And so the other place that you mentioned then in Pontefract, is that the place which is famous for poltergeist activity?
Yeah, so that's when the Lights Went Out movie. So it was a young girl who was basically tormented and dragged...
In the 70s. Yeah,
in the 70s.
Yeah.
Dragged up her own stairs, apparently, up the stairs into the room. And I think her dad was chucked in the coal bunker.
Yeah, and he thought she was messing around, and then he realised... Yeah. Through other different types of activity, when he was alone, that it actually wasn't his daughter.
So it's a Black Monk of Pontefract. It's called. That's what they're called.
And it was built over a well as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, which we actually found out where it was last investigation.
We used some dowsing rods because obviously dowsing rods are used to locate water. I don't like using them on paranormal investigations because obviously they're used to source water. And we found where it was, and it was in the main living room, and the lady next door confirmed that with us as well.
So the story goes is this monk apparently did awful things to girls, chucked them down the well, and then went off to the forest in Pontefract and hung himself because he got found out. So it's a bit dark, but...
That is pretty grim. And these stories then, when you read stuff like this, and I'm probably not looked into this enough, though, can these things be historically corroborated?
Well, the thing, what happens is, so the Black Monk of Pontefract, where Pontefract was, and that is a massive, there's a big castle, isn't there? And there was monks in the area at the time. I don't know if the Black Monk can be confirmed.
I don't think
if
anything can be confirmed, really. I mean, maybe we need to go down and have a look at that and get back to you guys.
And then some of the places we go to, so we've got, you probably heard of it because you're local to ourselves, Newsham Park in Liverpool, the big asylum. So obviously, you know, that's got a lot of history with orphanage, mental asylum. So yeah, you know, it's some of the stuff you pick up.
Some of the stuff,
yeah.
You know, it's whispers, isn't it? You know, so... Yeah.
So there's history to these places, but the stuff you find, you don't know if it can be confirmed.
So what would be one of the... and you mentioned that if people come along to one of your sessions and you have, you know, a talking board and they're sitting around and they expect doors slamming, windows smashing, etc. What would be the biggest physical, I suppose, occurrence that you guys have witnessed? I mean, I know you mentioned the glass was moving and spelling things out, but have you... sort of felt or experienced anything sort of physical?
So not physical to ourselves. I mean, we've gone cold, but I've heard in Newsham Park, I was watching the Ouija board myself, and we've had the actual going around, and the guests' fingers weren't even touching the glass. It was just on top, and I kid you not, the glass went and went down. Them guests only lasted another 10 minutes and went home.
Yeah, I think that'd do it for me as well.
It was the first ever one as well. And then 30 East Drive, we had everybody in one room and me and another guest in the other room. And the door was locked in the bedroom and the door actually went and opened. So like we say, I ran out going, are you there?
Is there a window open? Is there everything? A draft that's done that? Yeah. You know, yeah. Obviously you tried to debunk the glass as well.
You
know, if it was like a sweat thing that was stuck to you. But it wasn't, was it?
And then I'd say which one was really, really weird was at Newsham Park again, the last time we went.
Yeah.
We always do a tour with the guests around the building before we start. So I was leading the guests, Kim was behind, weren't you? And we got to this door and I basically just put my hands out like that and stopped everybody. Because in this room we were going into were like little kids' footprints. Not shoe prints, but footprints. You could see the toes. And we've actually got that on picture.
No shoes on. And so there was like 30 of our guests all around, and we were watching the footprints imprint, and then they disappeared, and then they came back again.
And we've got footage. We've got pictures of that as well to confirm what we found. So that was probably one of the most. I'll say that was probably one of the most.
That was amazing. And obviously because it was an orphanage as well. You know, you're not allowed to take under 16s actually in Newsham Park for a ghost hunt. So we were kind of like, why is there little feet?
Tiny, developing.
That was really. It was interesting, wasn't it?
It stopped us in our tracks, basically. Stopped and went, whoa.
It was interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would do it for me, I think, dude. I think I'd have turned tail and run. that does sound pretty spooky. So you mentioned there then young child ghost. So you're called the occult family. So you have, is it two daughters, am I right in saying?
We do, yes.
Yeah.
And are they interested in the occult as well?
So what happened was when JP and I had got an interest for this paranormal life, we decided to take the girls around to the venues that had renowned, you know, hauntings during the day. And so the first place that we went to look around was Four Crosses in Cannock. And we didn't tell the girls where we were going, so there's no Googling. We don't like to Google any history, really, other than to kind of what we hear from other ghost hunting companies that places are haunted and have activity in. So took the girls in there, walked around and got back in the car on the way home, and Snow, who's 10, our eldest, said, "Mummy, how many people were in that building with us?" And I said, "Well, it was just us and Leslie, the owner." And she was like, "No." She said, "There wasn't, there was more people in there." And I'm like, "Okay, tell me a little bit more then." And she was like, "Well, by the fireplace downstairs was a man with a round head, and he looked like a soldier, and he had like ragged clothes on." She said, "And by the toilets, there was what looked like a mummy."
Yeah.
Not like an Egyptian mummy, but like a mum holding a little girl's hand. And they were both looking really, really sad and tired. And then on the top floor, there was a teenager just sitting on the bed in like a white outfit.
Yeah.
So I turned to you, didn't I? And I was like, well, I don't like to do the history, but I'm gonna Google this. And she got the round-headed soldier absolutely spot on.
And it's actually on the internet. It was spot on. The description, the way she described it, she couldn't have got it from anywhere.
Yeah.
She described it, but like,
she didn't know where we were going or anything like that. And I was like, oh my God.
So since then, obviously we've got this house and we have our haunted artifacts, which we collect, and Snow runs downstairs sometimes and goes, "Oh, a woman's just walked down the stairs," or, "Oh, a man's just been standing next to my bed. She's seen a big, long black finger, didn't she, on the side of her door?"
Yeah, and then she was playing her violin, and lots of people know about it. She was playing her violin, and, you know, really squeaky and like, "Shut up, Snow." Yeah. It's really annoying. And she came running downstairs and she said, "I can't play my violin. Someone is stopping me from playing it." And she just couldn't play the violin. She's seen lots of things around. She saw a grey being on the landing.
The best one was the other day, though. So they're playing in their friend's gardens just across. She come home and just went, "Were you standing on the top of the window in my bedroom?" And we were like, no, we're in the garden, like, catching the sun. And she went, "There was a woman standing up in my room just looking at me and waving." And we were just like, and we had literally just bought a new artifact that day. Well, got a new artifact that day, so we thought, wonder if that's a coincidence.
But so Snow can see energy. I don't know whether she can see the past. I don't know what she's seeing. But obviously, with me being a therapist, I know psychologically speaking, she's absolutely fine.
She's safe. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're her parents. Yeah, we're.
No, I do believe this. I do believe that the human mind develops in a way that it can receive things that aren't necessarily visible to the human eye. And I do believe that there is a third eye that can pick up on this, and that children are far more adept at doing that. And unfortunately, as our brains develop and we get more attuned to this modern world, that we lose that ability. So that wouldn't surprise me. I had a few experiences with my daughter waving to the corner of the room when she was a baby, and it used to spook me out, you know. And I remember on one occasion I was trying to put her to bed, and she was waving into the corner of the room. I said, "Look," I looked into the corner. I said, "Look, I'm trying to put my daughter to bed now. I need you to go." I said, I want a glass of wine. And anyway, literally, it was like the whatever that she was looking at had just poof, disappeared into thin air, because my daughter just burst into tears and just staring at me, and it really, really spooked me. But something that Gaz and I were talking about earlier was we had a conversation with a lady called Gina Black from Miami in Florida, and she investigates the paranormal there.
Oh, she follows us.
Sorry, she follows on Instagram. So
okay. Yes, she joined us on the podcast, and it's something that she spoke about, actually, was haunted artifacts. And it's not something that had really entered into my head. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So because obviously we've got the passion for the paranormal, and then we decided we do like the artifacts. So we decided to go down that route to see what we could find. And then we got in contact with, she was a medium, was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a medium, and we ended up getting in touch with her, and she had a doll, which was called Esther. So what had happened with this doll, it had been with this lady first, it's just in the house, and Esther started getting into this lady's dreams. Obviously, her family started thinking she was going nuts, saying, "Yeah, shut up, mum, whatever," and all that stuff. And then Esther started coming through with, like, different messages saying, "Yeah, this is going to happen, this is going to happen." And she had it for 12 nights. And this woman died in her sleep on the 12th night after apparently seeing Esther. But she was a healthy woman. She just conked. So this, I hate calling her a doll because she's not a doll. She's our Esther, isn't she?
Yeah. So,
don't
she's
call
our
her.
Energy.
She's our energy. So Esther has been around different paranormal teams, and some paranormal teams have only had her for one night, and they said, "Get her out of the house." We've had her for about a year now. She's been lovely, but we bought her a box. She's actually sitting behind us. No, you can't. There's somebody artifacts there, but Esther's there. She wasn't in the box at first, what we bought her, and I kid you not, we've heard footsteps that we did research. She closed doors upstairs, and then we heard doors open. We went upstairs, took all the windows. We thought, we'll shut down doors, and then two doors open.
Every night, because obviously we had a box made for her, and it didn't arrive on time. And we're hearing stuff like that come through our ceiling at 9:30 every single night.
And then the middle of the night, one time, Kim just did that to me, woke me up, and I woke up, and there was a radio, an old radio noise, wasn't there? Which
we heard that three times, actually.
Over landing. We literally got all the iPads we're now having, because we take the iPads of the girls because we're good parents. But they were all down. We don't have a radio in the house. The TV was not on. So we were like, we were trying to go. We went
well,
mad.
The first night I heard it, he thought I was going nuts.
I did. Yeah, I genuinely did.
And
so
he didn't believe.
Sure. Yeah,
and then the second time it happened, he was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry about that."
It was crazy. But like I said, we've got Esther. We've now got a Dybbuk box. We've got one what sounds a bit weird, but we've got a haunted Tamagotchi, which is actually from Japan. Yeah, I know. Very good. We've got all the backstory. We've got all the newspaper clippings for that from Japan.
Apparently, it caused mass possession in a Japanese girls' school.
Oh, that's a scientist say. Hysteria.
Yeah.
Hysteria.
But we've got that.
And then we've just received, she's actually in a box over there, a doll where there was a girl who... Unfortunately, she had autism, didn't she? And she always had this doll with her. And this one time, she left at her nursery, and the parents got her in the car, and she was crying. And that car, unfortunately, crashed, and all my family members died. So this doll was always left in the nursery, and apparently that nursery found things going on. Yeah. And we've currently got it sat over there on the table in the box from this place. So yeah, we're getting big collectors, getting the connections. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, you're not wrong. What's your thoughts on that then, Dave? Because Gina told us how spirits can attach to these things. She was convinced by it, you know, that if they can be attaching themselves to places, they can attach themselves to things as well. I know you're going to be sceptical about it.
Dave's coming.
Well, I wasn't going to go down the skeptical route. Actually, I was about to ask a question about them. And it was, if you're getting these artifacts that have a history of bad stuff, why are you filling your house with them?
Paranormal research. We aren't getting taken them out of the house now because we feel like the house is getting too cluttered and snow. Obviously, we just told you we can see, seen too many things. So the actual garage is getting converted into a little museum. It sounds nuts. Yeah, it's paranormal research. And like we say, we do not know if we're just getting sent a Tamagotchi or a doll at the end of the day. We could be. We could be sent anything. Yeah. But it's that wonder, isn't it? Is this thing actually got something attached to it? And that's what we're researching.
Yeah.
But does it not worry you that if like the doll that was left behind and then the whole family had a car crash and was killed, does that not sort of worry you that you're bringing bad stuff or potential bad stuff into your house?
We don't know if it's bad stuff, do we? That particular item, it lies close to our heart, doesn't it?
Because obviously we work with
autistic children. So it's almost like we're looking after
a little girl's
energy, energy. So.
Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. We kind of have this feeling. I don't know why. We might be absolutely crazy, but we seem to, when we're drawn to something, we go down that route and we get it in our house. But for some reason, we have a feeling of all these, like, Esther are supposed to be demonic and evil. And
But we've got a divot box that's supposed to be evil.
But since they've been in our house, we have had activity, but nothing demonic or evil. So it's kind of like...
Or it's not manifested yet. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we've slept with Esther at the end of our bed, haven't we?
Best night's sleep ever.
Yeah, great night's sleep. So, yeah, other people don't want to stay here, do they? My family members don't want to sleep over here. But
we understand what you're saying, Dave. We do understand that. Absolutely. People ask us that question all the time.
Yeah,
why?
We're nuts.
Why? I mean, you've got kids. Why are you doing it? But we've got pictures of Snow and Pebble sitting there with Esther. As like a doll. We've got to play with the Barbies.
But you could have things in your house that that energy might be attached and you wouldn't know about it, would you? So, or you could know about it, you know? So it's.
I've got two kids. I think they're possessed.
Yeah, I thought that earlier when Gaz was talking about malevolent spirits. He never really made it clear whether he was talking about his wife or something else. Sorry, Jenny.
Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
No, I do. I do find it fascinating because it's not something then that I'd really sort of really considered. So is the one artifact out there then that you would love to get your hands on?
You know, we were like...
Well, there's two now, isn't
there? Well, you've got two now, haven't you? Yeah.
I'd love, obviously, Annabelle.
We'd all love Annabelle.
But the Robert doll.
Robert doll's quite interesting.
I would like
they're quite interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to home...
They're currently both homed in last...
One's with Zach.
One's in, Las Vegas Museum.
Another one's, I think, is in a museum.
Yeah,
I think.
Somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, they would be ace to get.
But yeah, we're open to any haunted items, artifacts. Please send them to your whole family. We'll look after them here.
Do you pay good money for them? I could probably find some.
A couple of old dolls just lying around in the house somewhere. I mean,
sorry, that was unfair.
It's fine.
We apologise. So here's a question then. So we're honoured to have you on our podcast, and we totally appreciate you giving up an hour of your time for that. We really, really do. But you guys have been in much more salubrious places than the Tallboy Radio podcast, haven't you? You've been on TV with this. Do you want to tell us about those experiences?
Oh, Jesus, but I tell you what, our first appearance on TV was live. Was live on ITV on This Morning. We don't know how we got there. We were just called, asked to go on there. I had to drive our hearse onto the set. Which was
I nearly crashed it
because he told me a minute before, literally 30 seconds before he went on, he went, you've got to go around that corner in your hair. So I was like, don't think that's making it. And then, so we've been on that. Then we got in touch with NBC, didn't they?
They got in touch.
So we've been on Access Hollywood in America. with Mario Lopez, which is nuts.
Saved by the Bell. Wow. You know, yeah. I used to watch him on Saved by the Bell. So
Studio 10 in Australia got in touch.
They were really cool. They were really cool, weren't they?
And then, just to say, we've in now currently where we've been the last year in contact with a production company to do our own very TV series in America. So I don't know. Incredible. It's gone nuts.
We're not even a year old, but you know we're loving what we're doing, and it's our passion, it's our hobby, and we're getting to see many things.
Well, we get to speak to people like you as well.
Exactly.
We love it.
We absolutely love it.
We genuinely love it.
And we're really humble. We are very, very humble. So we're really.
But I suppose it's one of those things. If you start off as a hobby and you can turn that hobby into your job or a career, or you can get paid, I don't know what I'm assuming that you get some sort of remuneration for these appearances, but if you can turn your hobby into some sort of career, then fantastic.
Can I stop you there? We do say to the media, we don't want to be paid for this.
All them TV appearances, not one.
Or the magazines, we say we don't want paying, and if we have anything paranormal research-wise, we'll share it
take it.
We're just wanting to educate ourselves and
share what we find and share with that's why we're speaking to you guys now, because we like to share and then we like to listen to your stories as well.
Fair play, because there would be lots of people who they might look to take advantage of certain opportunities that are afforded to them, whether it be print media, social media, TV, whatever it may be. So, for you guys to say that is, hats off to you, fair play to you. And it shows, I suppose, just how much interest you have in it, just for your own personal interest, instead of just to necessarily make money. It's just actually to try to find out more for yourself personally. So, hats off to you.
And with our events, the ticket sales, it goes back into...
lowest we can do in, basically.
It goes back into basically hiring out the venues, because the venues can be very expensive. And obviously, it'll cover our petrol and the snacks and stuff that we provide on the nights. But this is paranormal research for our hobby. And we love meeting people. And we've met so many amazing people on our events, so
that's incredible. And if you ever doubted, then folks, if you're listening to this, that these people do this for the love of it, there's your answer there. When they're not going to take a penny for TV appearances, and gee whiz, we normally pay a fortune on Tallboy Radio for our guests as well. Really?
We don't.
So we have had another question come in, and it's a young man by the name of Albert, and he wants to know, how do you know if something is haunted or evil like dolls? How do you know that it is?
Well, we don't.
I'm going to say that. I don't know if you do. We do. When we get an artifact like a doll, I say if we go down the doll room, we have like a case file where we do a baseline, see what we get. And then throughout the weeks and the months and that, we kind of just do investigations and write down what we get. So say if we do a talking board, we'll write everything down we get. If we do like some app work on the Alice box, we just write everything down and we see what we get. And you start getting a bit of a story through the back.
And obviously, if we have a case file come through on the item as well, the person that it's been sourced from, and if it's starting to match up, that's when it's kind of like,
that's
wow.
Nuts.
But
like I said, to answer the question, I don't think you can. You can't, you don't know if anything's evil or haunted per se, can you?
So do you share these things around then? I think a couple of things you've said sort of suggest that you sort of share them or take it in turns and each keep logs and pass it over. Is that what you do?
We've not got to that. We've not shared. We're not going for long.
To be honest, I don't know if I'd want to share
the babies.
our energy at the minute. Yeah. We do take them to events where people can investigate. So people have investigated our events, and information has come through, like what we found as well. But no, I'm not.
What's happened?
Yeah.
What's happened with the artifacts we've managed to get is people have contacted us, saying things going on in the house. We've got a mirror which has come from, I don't know, you might have heard it, in Middlesbrough, a house called the Hell House. It's been documented. It's on YouTube and all sorts
of
that.
It's a TV show.
You can Google it. She's got a YouTube and all that stuff, and And it's this big documentary where quite a famous paranormal investigator, and he went on there, and you can see the mirror, and the mirror is supposed to be a portal. And this lady got in touch with him and said, I've got a mirror, do you want it? Because she was selling the house for my mum, because it was her mum's house. So we said, yeah, we went and collected the mirror. So that's how we're accumulating stuff at the moment, people getting in contact. There's only a few case files we've got from other people, isn't there?
Yeah.
We're starting our own case files.
Yeah. Okay. And when we did get that mirror, that same night.
Apparently, yeah.
Coincidence, it may be, but my eye, I look like a Quasimodo. My eye, it looked like an allergic reaction. Yeah. And it's still not right today, and you were off work.
I'm never ill. I'm actually generally never ill, and I was violently sick that night. I puked up everywhere. It could be coincidence. It could be food poisoning. It could be anything.
Really weird that both of us, we were absolutely fine.
Picked it up.
That happened as soon as we got the mirror. And then we took it to a place called Crewe Lyceum for the very first time, and we had a couple of guests get in touch with us, because we always say, please get in touch with us if there's any behavioural changes within yourself, if you're not feeling good. And, you know, we'd like to look after our guests, don't we? Mm. And a couple of people got back in touch saying they had headaches. Someone felt that they were being flicked on the ear. Someone was feeling nauseous.
Someone seen something in the mirror as well, didn't they?
The
black mist, like the black lady in the mist.
So. Yeah, but it could be coincidence.
You never know.
But, we're documenting it. We're documenting it. So if any of you would like to look in the mirror on our investigation...
you look and look in that.
Please do so.
And please sign a waiver. You're not being ill.
We take no responsibility.
If I look in the mirror, I guarantee there's going to be something bloody awful looking back. So what's next for you guys then?
So we've got... obviously, the events are still selling out now, so we're just going to, we've got events going. Say, we are waiting for the America, aren't we, just to get that confirmed, signed and dined, and then the cult family will be, hopefully, moving to America for a little bit and investigating over there and doing the family bit. Mm. But we're going to keep the cult mornings events running over here with some good friends who are going to help us out.
So, I tell you what, that would be phenomenal, wouldn't it, Gazza, to be able to do something like that? What an experience.
Yeah, we've spoken before, and, you know, Macclesfield is not that far away from us, and there's a couple of very famous sort of haunted places in Macclesfield, and we sort of said it'd be fantastic to do an outside broadcast. We're going to go there, and you know what? If something happens, then great. If it doesn't, then great, so be it, you know. And I think it would be great if we could get sort of Dave, and there was a guy that you sort of, you used to sort of host with us, he's just having a bit of a sabbatical, who again is a little bit of a skeptic, so him and Dave would be perfect, two peas in a pod. I would be slightly more susceptible to, you know, if we saw something, I'd be like, oh my god, did you see that? And those would be like, it's just a breeze, it's just like a curtain fluttering. I'm like, no, it's definitely something, you know. But to get the two different perspectives of the same occurrence or the same happening, and me to interpret it in one way and somebody else interpret it in another way, and try to attribute more laws of physics, laws associated to it, as opposed to me who might go down more of the paranormal supernatural route, would be great. And we've said, you know, we've said it would be good if we could do that, and we'd planned it for a while, but then, you know, damn COVID hit, and we had to put back burner on various sort of outside broadcasts, and we're just sort of getting a background now to sort of thinking we can go here, we can do this, we can do this, you know, particularly now we're sort of streaming live, it makes it a little bit easier to record and to stream live, you know, in real time. So it's definitely something that we're looking forward to, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. Dave, have you got any final questions for our guests now that we're up at the hour mark?
No, I don't think so. I think it is. I think it's great when people have passions and interests, and it's something you both believe in clearly. And I think it's great that people do all these wonderful and varied things in life, because it would be very boring if everyone was like me, frankly.
Aww.
You're not boring, Dave. You're not boring.
You're not. And you know what,
Matt? You say that.
Yeah, you don't know.
I started off a skeptic. My mum was a skeptic, and my mum has come on a few events with us, and she has said, I have witnessed things that I cannot explain.
She's a believer now.
And my mum is a draft wafter and everything, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
So please, if you guys want to come and on one of our investigations, just give us a message, and it would be great to
Yeah, great to have you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be up for that, won't we?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. Do something, yeah.
100%, 100%. So then, to wrap this episode up, would you like to say your goodbye to our listeners?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
thank you so much for listening in, for tuning in. And yeah, if you have any further questions, please, you know, message us on Facebook. We're the Occult Family on Facebook, Occult Family on Instagram.
Occult Family
on
everything.
Yeah.
And thank you to you guys for having us on your show. You've been a pleasure to talk to. So thank you very much.
It's been great fun. Thank you so, so much.
No, absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Dave, would you like to say your goodbyes?
Yeah, just goodbye. And I think it'd be good. Did you say you were just in Macclesfield? Are you in Macclesfield?
No, we're Winsford, but it's like Macclesfield's.
Oh, that's not far either.
Quite a minute, not far.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should get together and do that outside broadcast, do a live broadcast. I think that'd be brilliant.
Not for that.
Definitely.
Gaza? Yeah, echo what Dave just said. It'd be brilliant. And in a way, Dave just put 2 and 2 together and made 4, whereas I made 5. You know, we've been thinking about doing a sort of outside broadcast in Macclesfield, and you guys are like dead close as well, so it sort of makes sense to perhaps marry the two up. And so Dave makes absolutely perfect sense for one. So yeah, really looking forward to that. Yeah, well, until the next time, until we meet, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Indeed, yeah, indeed. Well, I've really enjoyed it. I'm fascinated by the paranormal. I would probably class myself in the skeptic camp, but only just this fella here to my left convinces me on a daily basis that there is something spooky out there. So before we finish, I do just want to give a quick shout out to our friend Vic Ferrari, who has guested on 3 of our podcasts before, and he has started his own podcast, NYPD Through the Looking Glass. So folks, if you're listening to this, please, please, please give that a listen. It's fantastic. And then finally, just wanted to say as well, here at Tallboy Radio, we were obviously saddened to hear of the passing of Liam, who joined us on episode 142 from the Beer Emporium. So we'd like to add our names to the list of condolences there. We were really, really saddened to hear of that. Thank you to our guests tonight. Thank you for joining us. It's been a fantastic episode. Loved hearing about it. And we'll definitely, definitely be doing something with you again in the future when we'll be going out there live and trying to find something a little bit peculiar. So I'll say thank you to you, and thank you for listening, folks.
Cheers, guys.